help of God's Holy Spirit, we turn once again to John chapter 15, looking this evening especially at verse 16. John chapter 15, especially at verse 16. You may remember that about a fortnight ago, we were asking ourselves this question: what are we here for? What is the reason for the existence of the Reformed Presbyterian Church here in Stornoway? And the answer we gave from Holy Scripture is that we are here to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But what exactly does that mean? What does that mean at the most practical level? What does it mean for us in our daily lives? What does it mean for preacher and people alike? In other words, what is the mission or the mission statement of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Scotland here in Stornoway? Mission statements always come from the heads of organizations. And because the church does not belong to us, the mission statements are never produced by us. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is the head of His church, and the mission statement must always come from Him. Here in John chapter 15, Jesus is giving what is commonly known as His farewell discourse. He is going to the cross, and after the cross He is returning to His Father. And He is giving instructions and teachings to His disciples concerning their ministry, concerning their future and the future of the Christian community. And as He does, He says to them in chapter 15 at verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you." The reason we are here in Stornoway as the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Scotland is because we are determined to be a going people. This is what Jesus says to them: "I have chosen you and I have appointed you that you should go." He calls them in order to send them out. And here in this church, I hope that you and I, by the grace of God, will be made to become a going people. The word translated "go" here is not in the imperative. It is not a command, but it is a subjunctive. That is to say that Christ assumes that His people will be a going community. He presumes that they will be a people who will delight in going out. And that's always the case. They were, of course, apostles, men who were sent out. And Paul says in his letter to the Thessalonians, he says, "We are ambassadors of Christ." In other words, we have been sent out by the great King of heaven. We are a going people. That's what defines us. That's what makes us what we are. We are not a staying people. We are a going people. We are not a remaining people. We are always going out in the name of Jesus Christ. what was in the first instance primarily spoken to the apostles and the prophets is secondarily true of every Christian believer. You remember God calls Abraham and he says, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing to others. And throughout history, God always calls the people to himself, only then to send them out into the world so that through them the world will be blessed by him. And in this church, we aim to be a going people. And it seems to me that this perhaps is one particular weakness of our tradition in the Reformed community. We are high and strong in doctrine, but we are weak and we are poor in evangelism. When we think of God converting people, is it not common for us to say that the Lord will bring them in? And true it is, the Lord will bring them in. But the Lord who has promised to bring them in has also instructed you and me in the church to be and to become a going people. He says to them, I have chosen you, I have ordained you, appointed you, that you should go. And maybe the reason for our inactivity in evangelism is because we have failed to hold in balance the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of mankind. God is sovereign, but we as human beings are responsible for our decisions. And when God gives to us a directive to go, then you and I need to submit to that directive. You and I need to become a going people. Not very long ago, I met a young man, and he is caught in the thick of all the difficulties in the church today. He knows what is right and what is the right thing to do, but there are difficulties within the family circle. And he looked at me, and with great sincerity, he said to me, it's all in the Lord's hand. And so it is. But I fear that that young man was mistaken, and seriously mistaken, because God has revealed his will in Holy Scripture, and God has told us what it is the right thing to do, and it is our duty and our responsibility to do the right thing. Divine sovereignty cannot become a form of fatalism. And I hope that you and I avoid the extreme of activity or the other extreme of inactivity. We are meant to be a going people. And you and I need to be thankful to the Lord for placing us so graciously in the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Scotland. Because as far as I can see it, this is one of her strengths. The strength is in her evangelism. The burden that she has for the conversion of other people. There are prayer meetings that are held for the conversion of people without the church. There are people who are burdened to go out, knock on doors, and the go team are there in order to compel them to come in. And I hope that in our congregation, we will use these resources, but we as individuals and as a church, we will be and we will become a going people. But the going can be quite ordinary. We are always going, are we not? We are going out to work. We are going to the supermarkets. We are going to the shops. We are going to the schools and our colleges. We are going to our places of work. We are always going. And what Jesus instructs his disciples to do is that when you are going, pray for those opportunities to speak about Jesus and to pray for the boldness to take those opportunities to invite others and to compel them to come in. We seek in this church to be and to become a going people. Secondly, you notice in verse 16 he says, I have chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. We intend to be a going people, but we also intend to become a growing people. So that, he says, you will bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. We do not intend to stay small. We intend to grow numerically. We intend to see new people. We are determined to work to bring in new people under God. We are determined to grow, and we are determined to outgrow this meeting place, and we are determined by the grace and the mercy of God to find a place for ourselves, because like ancient Israel, we have become too numerous for the place where God has placed us. And as I look at my own Christian life and my own short ministry, I am ashamed to say that so often I have not prayed for growth. I have hidden myself behind that religious, nonsensical sentimentality that says, these are the days of small things. These aren't the days of small things. Jesus has promised much fruit. In verse 8 he says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. It is only in exceptional circumstances that God sends a minister to close down a church. But in ordinary circumstances, God sends a minister to a congregation in order for that congregation to grow. And make no mistake, my brothers and sisters, we are here to become a growing congregation of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Scotland. We will work for it, we will pray for it, and under God, He will give us the growth. But notice, it isn't just any growth. He says it is to go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. There are two types of growth, as you know. There is natural growth or supernatural growth, and there is artificial growth. We do not intend to grow our numbers artificially. We do not intend to make just about anybody a member, whether they are able to keep their vows or not. No, this is not a church that intends to live on spiritual or religious steroids. That's not our intention. We intend to grow. We intend to see fruit, and fruit that will remain, fruit that will be protected, fruit that will persevere, fruit that will hold fast, fruit that will be kept for all eternity. We do not intend to see people coming into membership and then falling away. We do not intend to see young people coming and then moving away from the church. We intend to see fruit. We intend to see growth. But we intend to see real growth, Christian growth, growth given by the Father in heaven. You can have artificial growth, and you can have it quickly. You just have to engage people at their level and give them what they want and give them what they like. That's not what we intend to do in the Reformed Presbyterian Church here in Stornoway. We seek to become a going people. We seek to become a growing people, growing in numbers, but growing spiritually also. But the growth is not just numerical. The growth is also spiritual. Notice the phrase that Jesus uses. He says, you should go and bear fruit. Do you notice that? It's fruit in the singular. It's not the plural. And you remember when the Apostle Paul writes to the early New Testament church, and he speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. That too is singular. It is not the fruits of the Spirit. It is one fruit of the Spirit. Those who have the love will also have the joy. And those who have the joy and the love will also be the people who enjoy the peace and the self-control. There is only one fruit of the Holy Spirit. It has many different facets to it, but it is the one fruit produced by the one Spirit of the one eternal God. And all that is to say that if you and I are growing in Christ, you and I will become fruitful people. You and I will produce the fruit of the Spirit. You and I will be empowered by the Spirit. That Spirit of love. That Spirit of joy. That Spirit of peace and self-control. That Spirit of Jesus Christ will empower us and dominate everything that we do. We intend to be a going church, seeking the salvation and the evangelism of the people of Stornoway and beyond. But we intend also to be a growing congregation, growing numerically, but also growing spiritually ourselves. And then finally, he says in verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. And at the end he says, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. And I give this third point the heading that we intend to be a going people, we intend to be a growing people, and we are determined to become a glowing people. You see, Jesus looks at them and he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And we looked at 1 Peter a few weeks ago, and we saw that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a treasured possession of God. It is not that we have chosen him. It is that he has chosen us. In the midst of an eternity past, he has chosen to set his love upon us. And so he has chosen us to become holy and holy before him and the watching world. But how did he call us? Notice how Jesus says we are called. He says, we are called in verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. He calls us by the word. And it is the word that sanctifies us because his word is truth. And so when you and I become Christians, it is the word that calls us. It is the word that nurtures us. It is the word that nourishes us. And when you and I are full of the word, that word will cause us to pray. That word will teach us to pray. And that word will teach us to make acceptable prayers before God. And this is why Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. And then at the end he says, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. And what builds the Christian are these two things, the word and the prayer. And so when I say that in this church we intend to become a glowing congregation, I mean that we intend to be a people who are steeped in the word. We meditate upon the Word of God day and night. It is our delight. It is our meditation. And it is this Word that is more precious to us than anything this world can give. And when our hearts and our souls are soaked with the Word of God, you and I will be compelled to fall on our knees. And you and I will begin to pray. And you and I will be in communion with the Most High God. He speaks to us through the Word. And we begin to speak to Him in prayer. And when you and I are full of Him, there will be a glow in us. The glow of the Holy Spirit of God in us. What is the mission of the Reformed Presbyterian Church here in Stornoway? We are not here to become famous. We are not here to become influential in this society. We are not here to make a name for ourselves. We are here, my friends. We intend to be a glowing community of Christ in this place. A community filled with going people. A community filled with growing Christians, a growing church for the glory of God. But how can we get the strength to do all this? How can we become glowing? How will we find, where will we find the courage to go out and to speak to others about Jesus and to invite them and to compel them to come in? Where will we find the source that will produce authentic growth, not a pretentious one? Finally, I give you the answer in verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I am the true vine. And Jesus says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. The only way that we can become a glowing, going and growing congregation is when you and I recognize that Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is the true vine. And when you and I submit to him and abide with him. Why Jesus? And why is Jesus the only true vine? Well, the answer is quite simple. As we read from Isaiah chapter 5, in the ancient economy of God, it was Israel that was God's vineyard. They were God's chosen people. But their lives were inconsistent. What they claimed to believe was inconsistent with the way they lived. And so the vineyard became a parched land. It became a wilderness. And there was no resource for the people of God. And Isaiah 53 tells us that in the midst of that parched and that dry ground, there was a root that sprang up. And that tender plant grew before Jehovah. And that vine, that true Israel, was embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. And when you and I looked at him, there was no beauty in him. There was nothing to attract us to him. And when we looked at his shattered visage, we turned away from him because we thought that God had stricken him, that this man was unrighteous, that he was crucified because of the wrongdoing that he But the prophet reminds us, he was crucified not because he had done wrong things. He was crucified in your place and in mine. He was crucified because you had done wrong things and because I have done the wrong things. And so he was the new vine, and he had to go through the wine press. He was subject to the justice of God, and he was made subject to the wrath of a holy God. And when he went to the cross, he experienced the anger and the damnation of God himself. The consequences of your sin and my sin were placed upon his shoulder. And my friends, when you and I recognize him for what he really is, that he is the true vine, that all other vines are false, and when you and I cling to him, when you and I cleave to him, then you and I will find that in our lives we will become glowing people, we will become going people, and we will become growing as individuals. And together as a church, we will find ourselves to be a community of faith that is glowing, that is going, and that is growing. Let me bring all this together with a final illustration and close. There's a story told that took place in a village just outside London about a Christian man who was on his way to work and rushing that Monday morning. And as he was rushing to catch the train, he knocked over a little boy, and he knocked over the precious marbles that this young little boy had. And when he turned around and he saw the face of that little boy, and he saw that boy bursting out to cry, his conscience was quickened, and he turned around. He missed his train and went back to the little boy, apologized for knocking him over, and then put down his briefcase and started collecting all the marbles that had started to go astray. And one by one he picked up the marbles, and finally he brought them to that little boy. And as that little boy was holding his bowl with all the marbles, the man looked into the eyes of the boy and he said, "I'm sorry that I had done this to you on a Monday morning." The boy looked at the man and he said, he was only a little boy. He looked at him into his eyes and he said, "Sir, are you Jesus? Sir, are you Jesus?" My brothers and sisters, we are not here to build a name for ourselves. We are here to build a name for Jesus. We are here to glow with the Spirit of Jesus. We are here to go with the message of Jesus. And we are here to grow in the knowledge of Jesus. May God help us to be just them. Remaining seated, let's pause for a moment of silent reflection and prayer. Our Father in heaven, we confess this evening that so often we are driven by pride, by ambition, by jealousy, and by the spirit of competition. Forgive us, we pray thee, and give to us spiritual vigor in our inmost places, and give to us the spirit of heaven, that we may look at the church with spiritual eyes, and we may look at ourselves with God's own viewpoint. And we pray, O God, that here in this place, thou wouldst give to us a hope and a future. A hope not just for ourselves, but for the glory of thy name. Grow us as a people, spiritually and individually. Grow us as a congregation, physically and numerically. Give to us the grace to go out and to compel them to come in. Take away that spirit of fear. Take away that spirit of timidity. And give to us the blessed Holy Spirit of boldness. And make to us to glow with a passion for Christ and for the truth of His word. For we ask all these things in His holy name. Amen. We conclude by singing from Psalm 126. Psalm 126. When Zion's bondage God turned back, as men that dreamed were we, then filled with laughter was our mouth, our tongue with melody. The among the heathen said the Lord, great things for them hath wrought. The Lord has done great things for us, when joy to us is brought. As streams of water in the south, our bondage Lord recall, who sow in tears at reaping time, of joy and joy they shall. That man who bearing precious seed in going forth doth mourn, he doubtless bringing back the sheaves, rejoicing shall return. Psalm 126, and we stand to sing to God's praise.
And Zion's bondage God turned back, as men that dreamed were we, yet filled with laughter was our mouth, our tongue with melody.
Of the Holy Spirit of God, rest upon you and abide with you all, now and until Jesus comes. Amen.